a sin. He knows that no one will ever find out about this sin that he is about to think about, that he's thinking about committing, and he still tells himself, ittaqullah, fear Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear the day of judgment, the day of reckoning, the day when no soul will be able to do anything for another, fear that day and fear the creator of that day. And he stops from thinking about that sin. He stops himself from committing that sin. Taqwa, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is defined as the awe of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That awe that prompts us to abandon evil and to adopt good. That awe is spoken about in the hadith and in the Quran in many different places. One companion of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam described taqwa as that thought and that quality that is inside of us. If we are about to walk through a thorny pathway and we do not have any slippers on our feet, how would we walk through that pathway? Very carefully. We would look very carefully where we would place our feet, where we would get the least amount of pricks from those thorns. And that quality, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is the quality of taqwa. It is that quality that stops us from placing our tongues in the way of sin, from placing our hands in the way of sin, from placing our feet in the way of sin. It is that quality of taqwa that we wish to learn about today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he did not say, fear my wrath, fear my punishment, fear my hellfire, fear destruction in this world or in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in that verse to fear the day when we have to stand before him and give an account of our deeds. Fear Allah himself, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. In other words, we should recognize the greatness of Almighty Allah, the majesty of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy and the forgiveness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we recognize these qualities of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only then that we will realize that we cannot commit sins. Not that we must not commit sins, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Must not gives us the connotation that we are able to do it, but we should not do it. Cannot gives us the connotation that we are not able to do it, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Because when we realize the greatness of Almighty Allah, it is then we will realize that we cannot commit sins. In this world, we have many examples of this. Over ourselves, we have our bosses, we have our parents, we have our teachers, we have our elders. We respect them. And there are things that we would not say or do in front of them because of our awe of them, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. When we as human beings can fear another creature of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, then what do we leave for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself? We must ask ourselves, how should we stand before Almighty Allah on the day of judgment when there are records in our books that we have lied, that we have cheated, that we have committed adultery and fornication, that we have given short weight? My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, how will we stand before our Allah, our beloved Allah, and give an account of these deeds? My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we cannot commit sins because on the day of judgment, we will not be able to answer for those sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. As for that person who feared the standing before his Lord and he restrained himself from impure and evil desires and thoughts and lust, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as for that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written paradise. May Allah make us from amongst those. Hell and its punishment are feared because these are the signs of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's chastisement, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. We do not fear the hellfire because the hellfire can burn us, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. We fear the hellfire because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that hellfire to punish those who disobey him. Once, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was traveling somewhere, and on the way he finished off all his provisions. He saw a herd of sheep. So he went to the shepherd and asked him for some milk and provisions so that he can continue his journey. The shepherd told him that this is not my flock, I am just only a guardian over it, and therefore I cannot sell to you or give to you what is not mine. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, being a companion of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wanted to see what is the condition of man after the death of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked that person, so why don't you sell me a sheep? Your master will not know. You can keep the money and you can tell him a wolf gobbled up the sheep. And he will believe you because there are wolves and they can. The person automatically said, fear Allah. I will not do that. I will not do that because not of my master but of his master. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, as long as people like you live on this earth, no tyrant can oppress anyone. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we must realize that unless we develop this way of thinking, we cannot hope to eradicate the sins and the crimes that are existing in our society today. There is always a loophole to get around the laws that have been made by man. So far, no one has discovered a method to stop crime in any part of the world completely, except by the awe and the fear of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is taqwa, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. It is this taqwa that upholds the laws of the Sharia. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we perform our salat 5 times a day, not because we will be whipped for not performing our salat. Not in this country. We do not commit adultery and fornication, not because we will be whipped or stoned to death. We do not do these things because of the taqwa that is inside of our hearts. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it is for this same taqwa. We should not lie, we should not cheat, we should not look an evil glance at someone. We should not have hate in our hearts, we should not have envy, we should not have lust. These are all qualities that are supposed to come out of our hearts because of this taqwa. It was because of this taqwa and this behavior that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had grown in his companions. The result was that if any one of his companions was to commit a sin during his lifetime, they would go to him and ask him to carry out the shari'i punishment upon them so that this sin would be removed from their records, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Sometimes that shari'i punishment would require that they be killed by stoning. Sometimes that shari'i requirement would require that they be whipped. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een preferred to take their punishment in this world because of that taqwa. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we as people do not come to behave in a sinful manner just like that. We do not become thieves and robbers and those people who commit fornication and adultery and those people who lie and cheat. We do not become like this just like that. We become like this because shaitan has tricked us, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, and we must be careful of the tricks of shaitan. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, shaitan tricked us into believing that when we commit a minor sin, it is just a minor sin. It is just a minor sin. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, shaitan first carries us to the point of committing a minor sin. Then he makes us believe that that minor sin is just a minor sin. It is just. It is of no consequence. It is very small. It is minor. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, then shaitan carries us to the point of believing that we can commit minor sins very often and they will have no consequence upon our hearts. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, when our hearts and our minds become accustomed to committing the minor sins, then shaitan insinuates in our minds to commit a major sin. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we must be careful of those minor sins. Those evil glances, those white lies, those small things, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it what will add up and cause us to commit that major sin. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we must bear in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always looking at us. It is always these minor sins that lead men to the major sins. Shaitan causes us to commit those minor sins, and then he causes us to commit the major sins. Let not anyone do any wrong deed that is a minor sin, thinking that it is just a minor sin, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Hazrat Maulana Mufti Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alai used to say that many people ask with much interest, is this sin a minor sin or a major sin? People would ask him, this sin, is it a minor sin or a major sin? Only wanting to know that it is a minor sin, I will commit it. If it is a major sin, then we will have some fear of doing it. Because then, that major sin, we may not be able to come back from it. So therefore, that small fear is still there. But my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, he used to say that a minor sin is like a small ember, a spark from a coal pit. And a major sin is just like a big ember, a big junk of coal that is red hot. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, he used to say, would a person take that small ember and place it in a box with all his money in it? Would a person take that chance, thinking to himself that that small ember will not cause any damage? He used to say, very well, that no one would take that chance with all his wealth. No one would take the chance to place that small red ember in a box with all his money inside of it, because he knows that eventually that will catch the money afire, and then the box will catch a fire, and then his whole house will catch a fire, and he will have nothing. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, he used this similitude to show us that a person who thinks to himself that that minor sin will do no harm to my heart, that minor sin will do no harm to my book of deeds, those very same minor sins that are just minor, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, can bring complete destruction to all of our good deeds. Those very same minor sins can go so far as to make us commit the greatest of all sins, kufr, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. This is how severe a minor sin is. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we must beware of the trick of shaitan. When a man is accustomed to committing sins, then if he tries, he cannot stop. He cannot easily stop committing those sins because it has become a habit. It is like a person who commits a sin and he does not even realize that he's committing a sin because he lies every day. Without thinking about it, he lies still. He reaches to work at 8 o'clock, he write 7:30. He reaches to work at 8:30, he write 8 o'clock. And he tells himself, well, when I enter the compound is when I reach to work, not when I say no, I'm a desk. So he lies without even thinking that it is a lie. He does not even consider that a lie anymore. He giving someone change, and he just happens to forget to give them the correct amount of change. It has become so engulfed in his activities that he no longer thinks of it as a crime and as a sin anymore to do those things. He always looking at women and he tells himself, well, that is what Allah created them for. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that person, it is very difficult upon him, and many of us have those sins inside of us. How are we going to get ourselves out of this? Because it is no sense to stand and give an hour lecture about taqwa and to talk about taqwa and to talk about how that will affect our hearts and how it will enter us into paradise, and we do not know how to achieve this taqwa, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. When a person gets the taste of sin, that taste remains on his tongue and that taste continues to cause him to want to taste more. We have been advised by our elders how to get ourselves out of this habit of committing sin. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alai, he again gives us an example of that sin. It is like an itch that you have. It is itching there. You want to scratch it. So you go ahead and scratch it. Oh, it feels so good to scratch that itch. But you continue scratching it until it becomes a sore, it becomes a wound. And then that good feeling that you had is now a bad feeling. Because now you are in pain and it has become infected. You have to get some severe medication to fix that. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that is that sin that we are accustomed to doing. We feel good and we get pleasure from doing it. So much so that we do not realize the consequence in the hereafter for having committed that sin. Instead, that itch, if we had, instead of giving in to our desires to scratch it, we had got some medication for it, or simply held off somehow or the other, then the end result would be that we would not be in pain. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it is this same itch that we have to commit a sin, that we give in to that itch, and in the hereafter we will have to pay the consequences, pay the price, and that price will be the punishment of the hellfire. It is a believer's distinguishing mark that he fears Allah, and at the same time he places hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the forgiveness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our elders have again given us an advice about this hope and fear that we hear about. They have told us that when we are young, we should fear, because it is while we are young we can commit severe and major sins. It is while we are in strength and in youth, we will tell ourselves that I can't sins, because later on I will ask forgiveness. When I go for Hajj, when I get older, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me, inshallah. So my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, my dear youth, do not commit sins thinking to yourselves that Allah will forgive you for it. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it is those minor sins that will cause us to commit even major sins, even bigger sins. And when do we know when we will die? How will we know when we will die? How do we know if we will die after we have committed the sin or after we have sought the forgiveness of Allah for that sin? So our elders have informed us. They have given us an advice that in our early age, we should fear Allah more. And in our later age, we should bring in some more hope together with the fear, so that we will not become too despondent about our early life and what we have done with it. It is fear on which depends the conduct of the entire world. There are those who are non-believers, they fear their police forces. And there are those that are believers who fear Allah, who have taqwa. Without it, there will be complete disorder in this world. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the fear of Allah is the only thing and the only solution that will bring us into paradise, that will carry us to a paradise, and that there we may have two gardens instead of one. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we have the example of a fasting person. When the month of Ramadan is here, we fast during the day. We wake up for sahri. We sometimes even perform tahajjud at that time. But we might not perform the rest of the 5-time daily salat. So we fast. We come in the night and we perform tarawih salat. Sometimes we perform 2, sometimes 4, sometimes 20. But what causes us to be so pious in the month of Ramadan? It is our taqwa, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. In the month of Ramadan, our taqwa increases for some reason or the other, because we believe we will get some more blessings for these actions that we are doing. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, what is it that prevents a person who does not perform his 5-time daily salat, but he is fasting, and while he is alone inside of his house, he can drink, but he does not drink. He can eat, but he does not eat. He can secretly eat and drink and then be as if he was fasting for the rest of the day. Come to the masjid and break his fast and everything, but he does not do it. That is taqwa, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters. And that is what fasting wants to teach us, to be applied to all of the aspects of our lives. It is that form of taqwa we want to apply to our entire lives, every day, so that we will perform our five times daily salat, so that we will pay our zakat, so that we will go for hajj when it is compulsory upon us, and that we will not delay it and tell ourselves we'll go later on, we'll go next year or the year after when it is more convenient. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the Sharia calls upon us to extend that taqwa that we learn in the month of Ramadan, that taqwa that we learn from fasting. The Sharia calls upon us to extend it into all aspects of our lives. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it is with that we will be able to attain that paradise. We are reminded in a hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which he said, paradise is surrounded by hardship. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, things that a man does not like surround paradise. Things that we call hardship and toil surround paradise. We have to overcome them in order to attain paradise. That is why we are asked to instill the fear of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ourselves. And this manner of prohibiting ourselves from breaking the laws of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will get us into paradise. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as we all should know, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the 10 people who was given glad tidings of paradise. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, when he went on the Mi'raj, he saw the paradise in which he would be. He saw the garden in which Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be in. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the taqwa of Hazrat Umar was such that after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went to Hazrat Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he asked him, oh Huzaifa, well, before we get into that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before his death, had informed Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu about who are the hypocrites in the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He had informed him of their names. So after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's death, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Hazrat Huzaifa and asked him, am I one of those people about which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed you? This, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is the taqwa of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Someone whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already informed that he has seen his garden in paradise. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, has anyone informed us that they have seen our garden in paradise? And do we even care if we have a garden in paradise? My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I ask because did every one of us perform our fajr this morning? Did we perform our five-time daily salat yesterday or the day before? My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, did we keep all of the fast in the month of Ramadan? Amongst the youths, did you attend any parties over this carnival? My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, how many of us have computers in our homes? Are we sure that our youths are not using it to look at pornography? My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, taqwa. Do we care about our paradise? Do we care if there is a paradise for us or not? My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we have been advised by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we must remember death often. We have been advised by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we must remember death often. Why is that, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters? Because it is when we lie in our beds at night and we imagine to ourselves that this is my deathbed. It is then we will come to the realization, what have I done today? Or yesterday, or this week, or last week, or last month, or last year or years. What have I done to get myself into paradise? Or what have I done that will make me get thrown into the hellfire? My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we have learned about the lightest punishment of the hellfire. That we have learned in hadith, it may be given to Hazrat Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on account of which his brain will boil because of some heat or fire that will be placed under his feet. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, and we have learned that this is the lightest punishment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us of those people who will be in fire up to their ankles, those who will be in fire up to their knees, those who will be in fire up to their shoulder blades, and those who will be covered in it all together. May Allah save us from this punishment. But why do we learn about the signs of the Day of Judgment? Why do we learn about the punishments of the fire of hell? Why do we learn about the things that will happen on the Day of Judgment, when there will be people who will be swimming in sweat and those who will be drowning in sweat, those who will be eating at their fingers and who will reach their elbows? Why do we learn about all of these things, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters? It is so that we will increase our taqwa, become more fearful of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and become more obedient to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so that we will stop committing those minor sins that will cause us to commit the major sins. It is so that we will practice stopping of major sins. It is so that we will obey the commands of Almighty Allah now, not in the future. Not just before we die, we will be thinking to ourselves, I could have done more. Not on the Day of Judgment, we will be asking Allah, oh Allah, send me back so that I can do some more good deeds. We learn about all of these things now so that we will practice upon the laws of Allah now. So that we will perform our 5 times daily salat now. Not when we get older. So that we will go for Hajj if it is compulsory upon us now. Not when we get older. So that we will stop committing sins now. Not when after we come back from Hajj. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy that we put into practice what we have learned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so that we can increase our taqwa to the level of the sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so that we will be amongst those who He speaks about when He says, لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ